Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a show we are going to have for you the next 30 minutes. Well, it is your takeover, your Villa takeover, and you can have your say tonight. Easy. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And delighted to say, yes, it may be heartbreak for you Villa fans, but don't worry. This next 30 minutes will be like therapy. We will get together through it all, and with you can join us and always have your say. Well, Ryan, I'm joined by you, the legendary Ryan Pitcher, under a gaslit lamp. What went wrong yesterday, even though it was a final that Villa did so much better and you were there? How was your day, Ryan?
Yeah, it was a really good day. I had a great time before the game. I met up with Callum from Heart of the Holt and his partner before the game and had a lengthy discussion with the main guy from Villa and Proud. So that's our football club's LGBT plus and ally supporters group. It was a great occasion as always. Had that header gone in towards the end of the game, then you never know what might have happened, but that's football, fine margins and all that. But it was a good day out.
Yeah, it was a good day out. And Ryan, it was actually a final that was a really thrilling final. It was a tie that was close. The contest was good. Villa getting back into it. Lots of decisions and incidents in that game that we need to go over. But more importantly, it was a game that before that and the build-up towards it, many people not giving Villa a chance, writing Villa off, maybe a section of Villa fans themselves. We always knew that Villa were in this tie, though. It's a cup competition. It's knockout football. Anyone can win a game on their day. And this was a game that now people are looking at, Ryan, that's saying Villa can build on this in their battle with Premier League relegation this season.
Yeah. The final itself, I was probably one of those few that wrote us off before the game. I'm just glad we made a fist of it and at least made it competitive. I thought we started off well for the first 5 minutes or so. We had plenty of the ball, but we noticed from very early on they were going to have a success down our left side. We'd already had a few warnings of this before that goal went in the 20th minute mark. And I thought Phil Foden was excellent, and he had been in all kinds of space on more than one occasion. And, we were punished for allowing him too much time and space to nod down into the path of Aguero. And he's not going to miss from there, is he? So, hopefully, we can take from this game. I was pleased, as I say, as at least how competitive it was. We battled well, and that sort of makes me feel proud. So hopefully we can take that resilience somewhat into the league. But I guess time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. Hopefully they can take something from this game and use it in that final third of the season. Ryan, let's take it back though before the game and last week's show. We spoke about the disappointing result against Southampton, the disappointing performance from the players. And Dean Smith said some of those players had played their way out of that League Cup final lineup. What players did miss out and what did you make of the selection on the day?
Prior to the game, I was with my good friend Chris as well, and we thought he'd bottled it in terms of the team lineup, because he was all about mixing things up, as you say, and we didn't really see too much of a change. Obviously, Nyland came in, as we fully expected. He's been the cup keeper throughout the Carabao Cup, but other than that, I'm trying to think. Obviously, on the right side, it changed. changed a little bit. What with El Ghazi and sorry, what with El Ghazi, what with Freddie and Elmo, kind of. Well, Elmo obviously came in. Well, in terms of the lineups, I'm just trying to think, going back to the Southampton game, so what changes were made? I was expecting to see El Ghazi drop out of the team, but that wasn't the case. Apart from, so basically, Pepe Reina came out, Courtney House came out, and Engels came in. But other than that, there was no other changes, which really did surprise me.
Yeah, I was surprised that there wasn't a few more. Maybe the ones that were, they weren't the ones that maybe the Villa fans were expecting. On the game itself, let's talk about it, because once again, City getting a corner. We've mentioned VAR this season. It was a fortunate corner. They then score from that corner. Villa will feel hard done by. Then they got themselves back into it. 2-1, stroke of half time. You're thinking, hang on, a John Stone slip, maybe a little bit of karma there. And it did make, yeah. I don't want to say City nervous, but they knew they were in a contest. What did the Villa fans make of it and think, look, we've got them here because you score on the stroke of half time and you've got the last goal. Momentum normally favours you, and that's where the swing is.
Yeah, that corner. I've got a lot to say about that. You know, I was over in that far corner, and from our angle, I've got to be honest, you couldn't tell who it came off. And we were right behind the linesman, and there's no way the linesman would have seen it either, unless he can actually see through someone's body, you know. But there's no doubt in it comes off Gundogan last when you see it from the other side, hence why Mings and everyone else who was positioned centrally was going nuts at the lino. You know, you had Mings coming over, you know, saying it wasn't a corner and whatnot. And, I'm not going to defend the poor marking from Freddie. You know, he was weak and didn't really compete with Rodri. And you could argue that City's dominance, maybe they did deserve a 2-0 lead. But the fact is, you know, they don't score from that set piece if the correct decision is awarded. And why wouldn't the linesman just be honest in this instance and say that I didn't see it rather than flagging for the corner? You know, if you're unsure and you don't have the technology to help you, as VAR doesn't cover these sorts of scenarios, since when does it say in the guidelines to guess and or go with the attacking option? Surely, in my view, not just because we conceded, but it's best to give it the other way, as at least then it doesn't lead directly to a goal should you have called it incorrectly. You know, this is why the whole VAR technology thing is just not foolproof. You know, I get that VAR, as I said, doesn't cover corners, but, you know, let's take that Declan Rice goal that was disallowed against Sheffield United for the handball, among other goals we've seen, you know, that have been disallowed for incidences in the phase before a goal is scored. You know, that incorrectly given corner was the phase before their goal was scored. You know, it's no different. The next kick of a ball leads to a goal. It's two touches after that decision is given, and we're left with an insanely difficult task, and that's really frustrating, you know.
Yeah, it is. That's the annoying thing, and we say it every week, right? We're like broken records, but it's the consistency. We're seeing decisions and VAR brought in to erase human error. Then you know, it's not used correctly. It's such a disappointing thing. They did go on and score, so obviously highlights that error. And talking of corners, it was a corner that Villa nearly scored at the end, and the game was really right for it. Honestly, right, I was up in arms. I thought, oh my God, here we go. It was a crazy
you
5 minutes. You felt what was it like, right? Because we felt it.
I was sat next to this gentleman, and you know when you're just on the brink of absolute limbs, that header comes in, and it's almost like we've turned to one another to celebrate and literally just start going nuts, and for it just to hit the inside of the post, I'm like, just anywhere, you know, why couldn't he just tip it into the side of the net and inside of the goal? It was edge of your seat stuff. I mean, the thing is let's not go hiding here in terms of, you know, resilience was good and we did limit them, but we didn't really create too much ourselves. And you know, I wasn't expecting, you know, I said last week, you know, you expect City to have a lot of the ball. And, you know, it didn't sort of make sense to me. I saw, obviously, when Keenan Davis was coming on, you know, that we were down near there, and we could see Keenan Davis was coming on for the last 10 minutes. And I was very surprised that he hauled Samatta off. I thought, OK, well, they're clearly going going to go two up top here. You know, we're going to maybe play it a bit longer and a bit more direct into Davis, which I thought we would have to do, because the fact is, in that second half, we didn't really have a look in, did we? Let's face it, we didn't really, apart from that header with 2 minutes to go, we didn't really have a sniff. And, you know, it's not like we ever really threw the kitchen sink at them or anything like that. And that was the most disappointing thing. I felt that much earlier, you know, it's a cup final. You've got 15 minutes to go. You go hammer and tongs. Send Engels up. Send the whole lot up. Send all the big men up. Just go direct. But, you know, it wasn't to be, and, you know, City fully deserved the win, it has to be said.
Yeah, it wasn't to be, but it nearly was meant to be. We could feel it right at the end. One of the players, Jack Grealish, absolutely devastated. But the fans, obviously they were right, and you were there, you'll know firsthand, but in full voice afterwards, you know, even after City lifting that cup, you know, cheering their players on, proud of their side. And this is what we're hearing, man. And Dean Smith saying, look, obviously, this is what we need to show. We've set the standards on Sunday and we'll need to keep them for the rest of the season. Not that Southampton performance, not the ones that have gone before. It's this. And if we show this, this will get us over the line and make us stay in the Premier League. Is he right in that? Will performance like that see them over the line?
Will the spirit, possibly, performances... I don't want to be too hard, because we're not going to be playing City all the time, resilience-wise. But resilience-wise, I have no complaints in terms of the hard work. I have no complaints. So if you're basing it on hard work and endeavour, you know, grit and determination, we saw a lot more with that in terms of what we saw from City against City than we have done certainly in the past few weeks, maybe excluding Tottenham. But the fact is we need more quality going forward. You know, and yes, I wasn't expecting to see loads of it against City, because we knew that we would be on the back foot for large parts. But we have to find something. We're just not creative enough. That's the big problem. And maybe the key to that puzzle might be, you know, the return of John McGinn, who I just pray that he's fit for Chelsea, you know, after the Leicester game. I just hope that he's fit for the 14th, middle of March. And, you know, hopefully he'll be like a new signing for us. And I think he is going to play a key part in how we go towards the back end, the business end of the season.
Yeah, and what did you make of Dean Smith's decision on the weekend to switch to a four-man defence at Wembley rather than using those three centre-halves as he would usually do? Do you think this was just, you know, strictly for the game on the day, just, you know, a solitary tactical idea, or we could actually see this implemented now for the rest of the season?
Yeah. I mean, funnily enough, now you've said that, it was Konsa that obviously missed out as well from following the Southampton defeat. But yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me if he reverted to the four. I think the problem being is we struggle with a two-man midfield, with a two-man midfield, as we're actually, you know, quite open with that. I think it could work. The issue being is as I say, is the supporting of Samatta. It's finding that right balance between, you know, finding that right balance both defensively and attacking. I do think we judging from the game at the weekend from yesterday, is I think he will revert to four at the back for the rest of the season. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, to see the return of Engels alongside Mings, which I'm not adverse to, because I think that although Konsa has showed at times, you know, that he is not too bad of a ball playing defender, I think sometimes he overdoes it and he's a bit overexertive, overconfident. And Courtney Hawes has been really poor for a number of weeks now, and so it's about time that he was dropped. But it is about getting the right balance, like I say. It's all right, you know, changing shift things at the back, but if we're not doing things up the park, then we ain't going to cause teams problems. And that's the thing. We need to find something there. As I say, I've said it all season long, and I'll stick to it. It's the wide areas that are killing us. The wide areas, the players that are the ball carrying players, and Jack, you know, he's our key man, obviously, and he's stuck on that left-hand side, and really you want him close to Samatta playing through the middle. You know, I know he has been doing that recently, but we need to get him on the ball a lot more than what we have been.
Yeah, and what did you make of the huddle after the game? Dean Smith, the staff and the players just getting, and he was talking to him, obviously, look, needing to pick him up straight away, but obviously praising the performance and the effort that he gave, and that was another show of the team spirit, really. What did you and the fans make of that?
Yeah. I mean, it was, to be honest, at full time is, you know, as I'm sure you probably heard on the TV, you know, the fans were much louder than City. We were louder than them all game, you know, and it was really heartening to see that sort of support that we had. You know, we're all singing and we stayed behind and whatnot. It's good to see, you know, it's good to see him, you know, showing something. It's good to see him showing a bit of passion and a bit of fight. And that's all we as fans, you know, really want is, you know, we're fed up of seeing what we saw against Southampton, what we saw, you know, at Bournemouth, what we've seen over the last few weeks just hasn't been acceptable. It's not an acceptable level. The fact is, you know, if we don't have the quality to stay up, then so be it. Or at least go down with a fight, you know. And so that's what I like to see that. And fair play to Dino for doing that.
Yeah, fair play to him. Obviously, we are going to be talking about the Monday night game. It's Villa against Leicester, and it is the Premier League Hall of Fame that is being introduced. Who does Ryan feel, and who do you feel should make it? Not only for Aston Villa, but maybe outside as a Premier League, their first inductees away. We're going to be talking all about that. It's coming up next.
Love Sports.
You're listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. There is still time for you to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. How are you feeling now? Yes, agony after that League Cup final. Once again, losing a final. The most Villa have, 6 runners-up finishes in league history. Quite incredible. What are they going to do to turn it around? Actually, it's 4. It's Arsenal. They're second. Arsenal lead the way there. I was trying to add on to Aston Villa's misery, and that is simply not the case. But aim your tweets at what's going on this season rather than me on that. Let's talk about the game on the Monday night. It is Leicester. It is a massive game, Ryan. We know that. But maybe on the weekend, results. What did you make of it? Going Villa's way or not? We know Watford picking up that shot wing at Liverpool didn't help, but Chelsea getting a late equaliser to Bournemouth absolutely did.
Yeah, it couldn't have really gone much worse for us, to be honest. I think that was the only saving grace, really, that Marcus Alonso double at Bournemouth and stopping them getting the win. But yeah, really, it couldn't have got much worse for us, you know. It didn't really go for us at the weekend. And to be honest, it's about time as well, in my opinion, because at the moment, we have been reliant on the fact that teams around us haven't been picking up results. And, you know, so I'm hoping that this will give us the kick up the backside that we really needed. You know, staying in the Premier League, like I always say, is imperative to us. And, you know, Monday evening is playing on Monday evening an advantage to us. You know, you have to ask the question whether it is or not. I'm actually off to the Emirates on Saturday, believe it or not. My boss has kindly donated her season ticket, so I'll be getting behind them. They're obviously playing West Ham, so that'll be an interesting one on Saturday. And all the other sides away from us are playing away from home, so I'm just hoping that they all take nothing from their trips. You know, Brighton are away at Wolves, you've got Bournemouth, I think they're at Liverpool, and Watford travel to Palace. And so you'd like to think that from those, that maybe it's only Watford that I can see maybe getting something from their games. But you know, we can take a step back then and look at things objectively, you know, playing some 48 hours later, and we could potentially put ourselves back into a good position. You know, it's really tight down there. We might be playing poorly, but you know, it's all to play for. We're only 3 points from 15th, but make no bones about it, going to Leicester is going to be really tough. You know, I think it's going to be another back to the wall sort of job, and you know, it's a shame that it looks like Jamie Vardy's going to be back just in time to play against us, so couldn't be any worse for us there either.
Yeah, well, the run may continue. mentioned, you know, struggling to find the net at the minute is Jamie Vardy, not playing in his last game. But what do you make that, you know, it is a Monday night game? Are you pleased about that? Because all of your rivals would have played you the last game. It's another day of rest and recovery and actually to plan for that game. Or you prefer to play when everyone else is, in terms of the pressure? And let's remember, Ryan, this is a Leicester side that Villa did have some a little bit of success over in reaching that League Cup final.
Yeah, no, like I say, I think it's a good thing for us. You know, having, you know, albeit for 48 hours, having two games in hand, I think is a really good thing. And like I say, it does allow us to look at that objectively ahead of the game and perhaps what we might need, etc. We, I mean, obviously we want the 3 points, but do you know what I mean? Whether we need to go hammer or tongs, you know. Yeah, you refer to the Leicester games, you know, obviously got bad at home. And, you know, whilst I thought we played well against them in the Cup semi-final on both home and away, I think, you know, the trip to their place was merely about resilience, you know, something that I've just referred to for the City game. But the long and short of it, to be honest, Charlie, is that we can't just keep going to places and having circa 30% possession and having, you know, 0-1-2 shots on target and expect to pick up results. You know, it may happen from time to time, you know, this sort of, you know, where you manage to have a smash and grab, but for me it just means the group are playing within themselves and aren't maybe not allowed to be as expressive as they might wish to be. And you know, the sort of Villa that took the game to opponents in spells early on in the season, you know, that was expressive football. And granted, we may not have been on the right side of results, of some results back then, but you sense that with a few tweaks and would have enough in us to put the fight in us, you know, on the opposition, whilst being less leaky at the back. And right now, I think that Dino doesn't know whether to stick or twist, and I think that's a real big problem. Like I said a few moments ago, as a fan, I'd rather see us at least giving it a go, because if we go into this sort of mentality against the real tough opponents, and make no bones about it, like I say, Leicester is a really tough game, it's really difficult to then switch it up against sides that you genuinely believe that you've got a sniff at getting a result, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, this is it, and it's kind of happened in a City game. You can't just, you know, stand off them. You need to try to match them, and especially we are running out of games now, right? We're coming to the business end of the season. In games that Villa, you know, the teams in and around them, they have to go for it. And I understand if you go for it, fight fire with fire, then you can lose 5 or 6-0 because you're open, you're vulnerable at the back. And Villa have struggled this year in defence and have conceded a lot of goals. But they have to fight sooner or later, don't they? It gets to a point, Ryan, where they're going to have to go for it.
Well, like I say, and that's why, to me, ball-carrying players are so important in football, because it really does relieve that pressure on your back line. And like you say, you've clearly just said it yourself, you know, we can see far too many goals. The simple math and how football works is the closer that ball is to your goal, generally speaking, is if you don't have as much possession, you're going to lose a game of football. The closer that ball is to your goal, you're going to concede goals. We don't, bar Jack and John when he's fit, is we don't really have that many great ball carriers in our team. That's the problem. And that's why, and I'm sorry to say, I know we spoke about recruitment again over the past 2 weeks, the recruitment hasn't been good enough. At the end of the day, is you need players that can take the pressure off the back line, and we don't have that, unfortunately, and that's where we really do lack quality. And we need to think about what we're going to do about that sharp and get the right players in the game.
Well, quickly for you then, right, let's start Monday night. What is your score prediction?
Score prediction Monday, I'll go with a hard-fought 1-1.
Oh, 1-1. A vital point for Villa, though. What will their rivals' results be on the weekend? Will a point be good enough? And, right, obviously, since we last spoke, there has been news that the Premier League are introducing a Hall of Fame. We don't know the first inductees yet. For you, though, Villa have had time, you know, great memories in the Premier League in the past. Who would be the two Villa names for you who deserve to be inducted into that Hall of Fame, and two non-Villa names for you watching the Premier League as a fan who you think they should be in it and they should be the first names?
Well, needless to say, Paul McGrath. You know, he has to be in there for us Villa fans. You know, he was just an outstanding footballer, and to play through what he did, you know, was just incredible. You know, his reading of the game was second to none. Another Villa player, you know, purely based on the amount of games, not just for Villa, but also for, you know, City, and he's still playing, you know, West Brom. You know, you'd have to say Gareth Barry. I think, you know, he's a solid player, you know, dependable player.
Most appearances.
Yeah, exactly. You know, for that alone, I think he certainly deserves a special mention. But like I've said before, you know, in terms of who's one of my favourite players I've seen in a Villa shirt, albeit that he didn't play for as long, you know, I thought the magic man, Paul Merton, was absolutely, you know, one of the most gifted footballers I've seen. Obviously, John Terry, something to do with Villa there. He's played for us, and he'll be in there. In terms of players outside of Villa that I think deserve special mentions, you know, because it's very easy to pick, you know, these big players that have played, you know, at the top clubs, you know, your Cantonas, your Giggs, your Scholes, your Bergkamps, and so forth. I'd quite like to see sort of, you know, I'm going to pick two names here where we talk about cult heroes, you know. So I'm talking about, you know, the Decanios, the One Chops, those two there, for example. These are cult heroes, and, you know, they didn't play for the bigger sides, but I think they deserve special mentions. These are the sorts of players that, to me, make it exciting. You can't just have all the top four, top five, top six players in there. Do you know what I mean? So I think it'd be good to have them in there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I'm more disappointed, though, Ryan, that you didn't go for Juan Pablo Angel. How dare you? How embarrassing
I know.
You should be.
I know. Listen, I love the guy. Would he be in there?
Yes, he would. You're going to name your kid after him. What's the matter with you? Juan Pablo Pitcher, baby.
Juan Pablo Pitcher, yeah, that's it. Would he be in there? Listen, if I was in charge, he would be the number one, but I'm not, and I have to base it on what I think fans want to see, and I just don't think Juan Pablo Angel is quite... sexy enough for a lot of supporters away from Aston Villa.
So. Well, he is for me and you, right? And we're the ones who are the captain of the ship, so we can say, right? Always good to be joined by you. Me and Ryan will be back in 2 weeks because there is no game. There is no show next week because Villa will be playing Monday. So I know all you fans will be at that game. But in 2 weeks' time, the Villa Fan Show will be back 8 to 8:30, as it is every Monday, apart from next Monday, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.